Business success usually comes to those who are too busy to be looking for it. Join RVK for the award-winning RV on Business Show every Tuesday at 12 midday. It's not about thinking out of the box. There is no box. Only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome to 101.9 Chai FM. It's 11 minutes past 12. Thank you so much for joining us, Craig. Thank you for putting it all together. I'd like to take this opportunity to wish everybody a Shana Tova, a Happy New Year. I really didn't believe that in my lifetime I would be sitting 2 years into a war in Israel, talking about it, reflecting about it. We are not going to spend a lot of time on it today, but I have been asked by people, excuse me, what Rosh Hashanah was like here in Israel, how it went, what was the mood, and how did people cope with it? So the first thing I can say is that it felt a lot more normal than previous year. There were a lot less family members involved in the war, even though there was a big call up and a lot of people had been called up. There were still a fair number of people around. Also, a lot of the people that had been called up originally either weren't called up again, or as younger people had already finished the service. Sorry. So they weren't necessarily called up again. So it did feel a lot more normal. The mood, though, was definitely dampened, and there was definitely a sense that something big and ominous is going on. The first thing on people's mind was, where's the closest shelter? What to do in the case of a terrorist attack? What to do in the case of a missile threat? What to do if there is fall off from a missile explosion, etc.? Those things are all priority in people's minds, just to know where your loved ones are, where they're going to be. But it certainly wasn't, at least in Modi'in, where I live, it wasn't a sense of deep concern that something imminent is going to happen, even though there had been a ramp up in the war. And areas close to us had definitely called on security forces to be more prevalent and to have a bigger presence, because they had had a second terrorist attack, a fatal terrorist attack, unfortunately, after the one they had previously last year, where two young children were killed and a father was very seriously injured. In a very close place there, there was another one. But on the whole, you know, things tended to operate and work as normal. As far as the actual days went and time went, it was quite joyous. Everybody was out, everybody was about, people doing their normal holiday things. So the war didn't really, impede onto the nation, in the sense that we're going to sort of dial things down because of what's going on. I think there was a sense, on the contrary, that because our husbands and fathers and sons and daughters and wives are involved in this war, we're going to make sure that we celebrate the new year with a sense of commitment and a sense of resilience and a sense of unity, and bear those in mind who unfortunately are no longer with us, and those who are serving, that they should understand that they are serving and doing something for a purpose. And that is that we can live as free people in our land. And that was generally the idea and the feeling that came across. There were airplanes heard in the sky. There were a few what we call booms, or they say in Hebrew, booming, that you could hear coming from Gaza. And remember that we're about 120 kilometers away from Gaza. You can still sometimes the shutters shake when big explosions happen. And those always are a sense of concern. What's happening? Where are we going to? But on the whole, it was pretty quiet. I haven't been out and about in the last couple of days. I must say, with all the Chagim, all the Jewish holidays, I've really been stuck to my desk trying to work around those. But my wife just came in and said to me that the shops are absolute mayhem. And that's a good sign. The sign that people are getting out, people are doing what they need to do. They are preparing for Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which is tomorrow evening and Wednesday. And they're really just getting out and living life as one should. And once again, thank you to all the listeners, to all our friends, to all our supporters, and to all lovers of peace around the world who are really concerned as to what's going on with us, so that we are able to continue living our lives as we should over here. I apologize for the noise. I just see that outside my window here, there's somebody busy with an angle grinder. That's just very, very unfortunate. Right, we've got 4 minutes before we need to take a break, so let's jump straight in. And I just want to answer one of the questions that came through during the week. I know I've definitely answered it previously, but I just want to clarify one or two points of it. And this has got to do with income continuation or income protection or a benefit that you have where you get paid out on a monthly basis in the case of a disability. One needs to read the policy document very carefully when it comes to both a corporate scheme and a private scheme. And one can have both. You can be both on a company or scheme, because they are often limited to the amount of cover that you can have and to the percentage of your income. And then you can top it up privately on the side. But on the corporate policy, it was often the case that one couldn't claim unless you were totally and permanently disabled. So, for example, if somebody was in a terrible car accident and then they were no longer to operate and to do their job, to function normally, in order to accomplish what they needed to do at work, they would then be able to get a payout on a monthly basis, and you would basically be medically boarded going forward. That has changed. Some companies will pay out for temporary disability also. The most common we see, unfortunately, are emotional issues. People have suffered a trauma, people who have suffered from depression, anxiety, issues related around those. And also a lot of back issues. It can be a simple thing like you slipped in the shower, you slipped in the kitchen, and you're no longer able to sit at a desk for a long period of time or to sit and stand. In other words, you can't function normally for a period of time. That could also trigger a claim. So before you say to yourself, I'm not going to claim because it's not going to pay, or the other cliched statement, which really, really riles me, is the product is designed not to pay. Go and humor yourself and put in a claim. Write a letter, say, this is what's happened to me. Please submit it for me, and let's see what they come back to you with. And often you'll be very surprised as to what you can claim for and how you can claim. Let's take a quick break and let's run to the shops. We'll be back with you in a moment.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 Chai FM. It's 21 minutes past 12. And just to let you know, the Disc Imbalance Clinic for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage your health risks. Whether you're having a regular wellness check, such as your blood pressure or your cholesterol, Disc Imbalance Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services that include female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem wellness clinic inside your closest Dis-Chem pharmacy. Dis-Chem pharmacies, better health starts here. And even though Rosh Hashanah has come and gone, we're still in the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which starts tomorrow night. So you should know that the new year is a time to show appreciation and to thank people. If you want to send a special gift to someone in South Africa, Selwyn Segal Gift Shop has a wide range of beautiful gifts for all tastes across a wide range of prices, and they deliver nationwide. Visit their website at selwynsegalgifts.co.za. Go along and visit Selwyn Segal. You'll be doing two good deeds in one. Number one, you would be giving a gift to somebody and you'll make their day or their year. And number two, you are supporting one of the oldest and most fundamental charities in our country, a charity that has really been there for those less fortunate than ourselves for generations. And they have really shown that the South African community takes care of its own and really looks after those who are vulnerable. So go along to salvancyofyourgifts.co.za and have a look there. So during the break, I got one or two comments to say that we listened to you last time and we did submit a claim and we were surprised by the outcome. One was positive, and the other one said that my injury was not severe enough in order for me to claim, even though I suffer from it every single day. Anonymous, I feel for you, and I don't say that in a condescending way. I really understand where you're coming from. We need to understand that at some point, when we come to a definition of a payment, we need to, not we, the insurance companies need to draw a line in the sand. And because someone lives with a discomfort that is permanent and long-lasting, doesn't necessarily mean that it meets the criteria of a claim. I just want people to be aware that when it comes, for example, heart attacks and anything related to the heart, you can get an absolute clear definition of everything that is covered upfront from insurance companies. Definitely, if it is a private policy, you can say, I've got income continuation or income protection. Please, can I have the schedule of what is covered? And they'll give it to you. And you'll find that there are different levels of protection. And for each level, certain things are covered, and it gets broader as the level gets higher or more expensive, so to speak. And on that note, I'd like to add in something of my own, is that it is not a cheap benefit. However, I often say to people, rather get the more expensive benefit that covers the term that we use, a broader basket of claim-related issues, than a cheaper benefit that covers less. Because what often happens is we get lured into this false sense of security that we have the cover and our income is covered. And if, God forbid, something happens, we won't have to worry for anything because our full net salary is going to be paid out. And you were in hospital and you did have a surgery and you were attended to by a cardiologist. And all of a sudden, we don't pay. When I say we, I don't mean myself, I mean the insurance companies. And the reason is that the definition is very clear. Sometimes you feel that you've had a heart attack, but you haven't had a heart attack. You had a blockage. You had a loosening of plaque in a artery or a vein that, I'm not a medical person, but I've been around in this industry long enough to have had different scenarios. And those aren't paid. And it is heartbreaking for the individual who feels that they've got the cover, for the families who feel supported because their breadwinner has done the responsible thing. And then for the insurance company to turn around, with a letter, oh, we're so sorry, but, and it's the but that you don't want. And it's inevitable that there will be buts. However, you can make sure that you insure yourself for the broadest possible basket, and therefore you have a higher chance of getting a claim. And that is on income continuation benefits, both on the corporate and on the private. You just need to make absolutely certain that you don't over-insure yourself. It is very, very easy to fall into that. It's not a trap, but it is that routine that happens. So let's say you're a private individual and you work on a job, and so many of you who work in big corporates, in middle management and upper management will know that the annual increases have barely kept up with inflation over the last couple of years. And you might be one of those where you didn't get an increase, or you might have been told that we're not giving you an increase, and if you don't like it, there are other positions available in the call center where they pay even less and you can go there. So those are the challenges that people have. But what happens is that your income protection increases in some cases on an annual basis. And you might turn around one day and say, hold on, my net salary is 100, but I'm going to get paid out 110 in the event of a claim. You might get away with it in the short term, but if, God forbid, you're permanently disabled, they're going to ask for your last two RP5s. And based on that, they're going to make the claim. It is your responsibility as the insured to make sure that you keep up to date with the cover and the premium and the entire story that goes around it. And if you're having an annual review with your broker, your financial advisor, you will make sure that those things are in place. Yes, it becomes a little bit tricky. Someone's just asked, what about if I earn commission or if I am an advocate and my income is not steady? Yes, you base it on your last two RP5s, or if you're quite bullish, you can say, well, I really feel this year I will earn X. You can do that with the understanding that it will boil down to what you actually earned. And a commission earner, the same thing. Really, just look at what you've earned, what you expect to earn, and go from there. There are certain overheads. For example, if you're self-employed, you can have what we call a business overhead protector, which will cover certain overheads that are static in your business. Things like staff, rental, advertising, leases on photocopy machines. It won't itemize each thing, but you can say, here's a list from my accountant of things that I pay every month, submit it to the insurance company, and they might be able to cover that for you. So at least you know that the running in costs of your business on an ongoing basis are fully covered, and then your income you can do according to what your last two RP5s were on average, so that you get something accurate. The comments just come in here. That's all good and well, but I can only insure 75% of my income and then I still have to pay tax. Well, you got the first part right, not the second part. I'm not even going to talk about what happened in the past because it's now so many years behind us that it's not even worth worrying about. If you haven't updated your policy in the last 5 years, you've got a problem. Go and update it. But very simply, you can only insure your net salary, and most companies will only insure up to 75% of that. You can insure 100% these days. You just need to discuss it with your broker. But the important thing is that it is not taxable. That income is not taxable. Let's look at it logically. Why? It's simple. You insured your net salary, not your gross salary. See, in other words, you're not going to be earning a gross salary where tax has already been deducted before you get your net. You're insuring the net after tax has been deducted. So the question can be asked, why is the government being so gracious? They're not being gracious. Because on the other hand, the premiums with which you pay to buy this benefit are not tax deductible. So you don't get a tax deduction on the premium and you don't get taxed on the income. And that's the way it works. In the past, you had a choice. You could have one or the other. Today, it's standard across the industry. And that's why when people turn around and mock South Africa for its shortcomings, a lot of us agree with a lot of the shortcomings that the country has. And I don't think there's any shortage of them, unfortunately. But we also have shining lights. We have product companies, industries that can hold their own anywhere in the world, if not better. And our insurance companies are definitely one of them. Our banking is another one. Our finances, anything in that area is just unbelievable. And if you think South Africans are not adaptable, look at companies like Capitec. Capitec has built a business on the lower end of the market. Maybe a lot of the listeners to this program might say, well, I've never really heard of them. I don't really use them because they weren't designed for you. But I feel that if we all showed a little bit of humility, and maybe went to speak to people who earned a little bit less than us, people who maybe we employ and speak to them, they could verbatim give you the advantages of Capitec. Why? Because it's something that they use, they understand, it relates to them, the charges are transparent, the charges are low, and therefore every single rand that they earn, they understand where it goes and how it's being deducted from their bank account. And that just goes to show about the innovation that happens in this country on an ongoing basis. It is something really, really amazing. What I wanted to do today was also just to answer a few of the questions that have come in the last short while. And a lot of them, I must say, are not in my ambit of expertise. I don't have a license to answer those questions. And that's the reason why we get guests in to ask about that. The one question email that I got was very, very long-winded, very, very detailed. You've clearly used a lot of AI to try to understand what's going on. And you're really asking about cycles in the market, in the investment market, and you're predominantly asking about commodities. I'm not a stockbroker and I don't have a license to deal or to give advice on that, but I do have still use. But even though Wayne McCurry has retired, there are many, many competent people out there, and we will be in touch with them after the Jewish holidays to come in and to explain what's happening in the commodity cycle. A lot of you would see that there have been changes in the market, and you're wanting to know, have we bottomed out? Are we going up? The rest of the questions, three or four of them, were about interest rates. Are interest rates going to keep going down? Are they going to keep going up? And the jury, as you say, is still out about that. But yes, once again, we will get in someone who deals with fixed income, and we will discuss interest rates and how that works. But bear in mind, when it comes to interest rates, this is something that I've said over and over again, and I will continue to beat this drum. If interest rates drop and you feel the relief in your bank account, if you were paying 8,000 rand a month for your bond, and now you're only paying 7,800, and if you're paying 5 for your car, and now you're paying 4,900, that 300 rand saving, you should not cash it out and run to Pick n Pay with it. You should be in touch with the agencies that you've used, the banks, the West Banks of the world, and say to them, please put my debit order back up to that original amount. And let's pay off this thing quicker. The other side is that when interest rates go back up, you've already built in that buffer. If you should have been paying 7-8 and you're now paying 8 and the interest rates go up and you go up to 7-9, you won't even feel the increase because you've already increased it to that point. And those are little things that one can do to buffer the interest rate movement up and down. The next question that's just come in now is, why do we have interest rates movements? What do the interest rates do that we keep having to have meetings about it? To the listeners and to Craig, I'm sorry, they're drilling right outside my office here. And it's vibrating through the walls. If it doesn't stop, we're going to have to stop. Craig, let's take a quick break if you don't mind. Sorry.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 Chai FM. Again, my apologies about the noise outside here. Nothing I can control. But as I said to you earlier, that Rosh Hashanah is the time to show appreciation. And if you want to send a special gift to someone anywhere in the country, please go to the Solomon Siegel gift shop and you can get a gift there. They've got a wide variety across a huge range of prices, and you're doing a two-in-one good deed. Number one, you're giving a gift to somebody who will lift their spirits or show gratitude. And number two, you're supporting one of our shining lights in the Jewish community in South Africa, Solomon Siegel organization, been there for generations, supporting the less fortunate in our community. And just before, we heard an advert from the Chevra Kedisha, and maybe it's time to at this time between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to say that as South Africans, maybe we need to stop for 1 minute and reflect how gifted we are with our community. And that is to have a Chevra Kedisha, one in the entire country, taking care of all the needs of the country, everything under one umbrella. And as they mentioned there, that there are more and more people needing help, especially with emotional issues. It's a tough time to live through. It's a tough time economically. And the Chevra Kedisha is there for everybody. And I would like to suggest that when you look at your donations for the year going forward, charity always starts at home. And it is important to make sure that we support umbrella organizations in the community that look after so much that happens. Those that are less fortunate, those that are more vulnerable, those that are less gifted. And the Chevra Kedisha does all that. And the ultimate time when one passes away, we have beautiful cemeteries, well run. We have dignity. We have people in charge who are people that you just want to spend time with socially, because they're just those type of guys and ladies that are part of our community. And by supporting the Chevra, we are able to be part of a bigger picture and have an impact on the betterment of our community. Just like to wish everybody who's going to fast a meaningful fast, and wish everybody a safe and pleasant week going forward. Next week is Sukkot, so I will not be on air, but just to wish you a very, very happy Sukkot. Those of you who are traveling, travel safe. Craig, as always, thanks for everything you do for the community. Thank you, everybody, and be well.